Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 32. The chapter is entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Idam Viviktam Japtavyam.
Idam Viviktam
Japtavyam.
Idam Viviktam Japtavyam.
Pavitram Mangalam Param.
Pavitram Mangalam Param.
Nishreya sakaram chapi,
Nishreya sakaram chapi,
Shuyatam tad vadami va,
Shuyatam tad vadami va.
Idam,
idam,
this,
this,
viviktam,
viviktam,
very,
very,
very particular,
very particular.
Japtavyam,
japtavyam,
always to be chanted,
always to be chanted.
Pavitram,
pavitram,
very pure,
very
pure. Mangalam,
mangalam,
auspicious,
auspicious.
Padam,
padam,
transcendental,
transcendental.
Nishreyasa,
nishreyasa,
karam,
karam,
very beneficial,
very beneficial.
Cha,
cha,
also,
also.
Api,
api,
certainly,
certainly.
Shuyutam,
shuyutam,
please hear.
Tat,
that,
that.
Vadami,
vadami,
I am speaking.
I am speaking.
Va,
va,
unto you.
Unto you.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Now I shall chant one mantra, which is not only transcendental, pure and auspicious, but is the best prayer for anyone who is aspiring to attain the ultimate goal of life. When I chant this mantra, please hear it carefully and attentively. Please repeat. Now I shall chant one mantra.
Now I shall chant one mantra.
Which is not only transcendental.
Which is not only transcendental.
Pure and auspicious.
Pure and auspicious.
But is the best prayer.
But is the best prayer.
For anyone.
Anyone
who is aspiring to attain,
aspiring to attain
the ultimate goal of life.
The ultimate goal of life.
When I chant this mantra, please hear it carefully and attentively.
Please hear it carefully and attentively.
Purport. The word viviktam is very significant. Viviktam means very or particular. No one should think of the prayers recited by Lord Shiva as being sectarian. Rather, they are very confidential. So much so that anyone desiring the ultimate prosperity or auspicious goal of life must take the instructions of Lord Shiva and pray to and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Shiva himself did. Omigina timaram dasya gyananjala shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakatamayam tadati svapadantikam jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Idam viviktam japtavyam, pavitram mangalam param, nishreyasa karam chapi, shriyatam tadvadami va. Now I shall chant one mantra which is not only transcendental, pure and auspicious, but is the best prayer for anyone who is aspiring to attain the ultimate goal of life. When I chant this mantra, please hear it carefully and attentively. Hare Krishna. Nice to see you all. Welcome to our guests. Hope you have a good weekend in Janmashtami. So before I begin, I'd like to ask for the blessings of the devotees, especially our senior devotees here. Thank you. We have especially Prahlad Ananda Maharaj. It's a little embarrassing speaking in front of seniors, but with your blessings, everything is possible. So, it's Janmashtami tomorrow.
Jai.
Have you well? And as with any festival, it's nice to prepare ourselves, especially when we have such an important festival as the appearance of Lord Krishna. And this is a very nice section of the Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva is speaking to us how to invoke the mercy of the Lord. Actually, it's interesting. Sometimes when you read the Bhagavatam and you reread it, you think, I didn't read that the first time. So I read this last night and this morning. And he says, I will chant one mantra. So I went a little further last night to have a look about what this mantra is, because it's a very good, according to this verse, it's a very good mantra. So what's this mantra? But the mantra that he's talking about goes on for several pages. It's, I don't know how many verses it is. It's maybe 30 verses, something like that. So sometimes we think mantras are small. I was thinking, because I was looking for the mantra, so I was looking for one verse, but actually it's many verses. And here, Lord Shiva is introducing his subject. He's giving us some expectation, some introduction, and that can be a little exciting. Sometimes if I meet someone and they just turn up, it's not as exciting. You know, if they tell me they're going to come, then I have some preparation, and we can meditate a little bit. So Lord Shiva is doing this. He's introducing to give us some expectation of what's going to come. What is he going to talk about? So I also want to do that a little bit. At the end of the class, I hope I have time to read a very nice pastime of Lord Krishna from the Vinaya Gita by Shivaram Swami to prepare us. It's about the descent of the Lord, about Lord Krishna coming to the world. So that's going to come at the end of the class. In the meantime, I'll talk about the prayers of Lord Shiva a little bit and what Janmashtami means. What is the philosophical purpose of Janmashtami, or the philosophical meaning of Janmashtami? So Bhagavatam is actually a complex conversation, if anyone's or a complex description. Here Lord Shiva is talking, but actually it's Suta Goswami speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya about what Shukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj on the banks of the Ganges. And this is my trait, and Shukadeva Goswami is describing to Parikshit about a discussion between Maitreya and Vidura about what Lord Shiva said to the Prachetas. And if you're an editor and you know how you're going to describe, you know quote marks? You put quote marks within quote marks, but it's impossible. So. And on top of that, this is the Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. This isn't just the translations of the Bhagavatam. This is the purport. So this is Srila Prabhupada talking to us about Sutadeva Goswami's discussion with the sage. Like that. We'll do it again. So it's, let's say it's like an onion, but it's like it's layered. The Bhagavatam is layered. And within the layers of the Bhagavatam, there are confidential pastimes and confidential descriptions given that are for our benefit. And it's a beautiful book. It's a wonderful book. If you every verse is tasty. That's actually the name of Shukadeva although it's Vyasadeva's Bhagavatam. That's also another point. But Shukadeva means parrot. If a parrot bites a mango, it makes it more tasty. So because it is spoken by the devotees, it becomes even more beautiful. And I guess maybe that's why so many devotees are speaking the Bhagavatam. Each time somebody speaks, it becomes even more interesting. So this prayer of Lord Shiva is very special. And I was just going through the different... What is he praying? What's his song? What is the song sung by Lord Shiva? So he starts off by glorifying Krishna. And this is a good... The Bhagavatam is actually a practical book. It's not meant as a theoretical study. It's what can we do with this book? And I was thinking that since it's Janmashtami, but also, of course, Prabhupada's appearance day, and we're writing offerings for Prabhupada, that there is an etiquette. When you're approaching a great personality, there's an etiquette for that. So first of all, Lord Shiva starts with glorifying Krishna. And then he goes on to describe the beautiful form of the Lord. Actually, it's gorgeous. We're going to have several verses where Lord Shiva is describing the body of the Lord, the legs, his arms, the different decorations. So that's a very beautiful description. And then he talks about the devotees and devotional service. And then he asks for a benediction from the Lord. So we can also do this. We can ask Krishna for something. And then he describes the relationship between Krishna and the material world, which is another kind of glorification. And he kind of finishes with that. So he starts with a glorification and he finishes with a glorification. And in the middle there's some intimate descriptions and some personal reflections. And this is for the Prachetas. I don't remember how many there were. Was it 10,000 or 20,000?
No, just how many?
10. Huh?
10.
There were 10 Prachetas. Oh, sorry. There's a different story. Sorry, I have to keep up.
The Shalabhas is the sons of Daksha.
Ah, that was more. Yeah, because he did this. Yeah, there was a... Yeah. Or maybe that was Narada Muni. He was converting people. And getting in trouble for doing that. So there were 10 Prachetas, and Lord Shiva's instructing them, is if you do this, I think it's you'll go back to Godhead. You'll get the most auspicious of all auspicious things. And obviously this is hopefully what we want as well. This is what we aspire for in our practice of Krishna consciousness, to get the most auspicious of all auspicious things. There are many auspicious things in the world. And like the six opulences that somebody can have, fame, fortune, no, I just said the others, be famous, wealthy, beautiful, intelligent, renounced,
fame.
Strong, thank you, strength, to be strong. So everyone is looking for these things. But mostly when we desire such things, we're thinking materially. We're not thinking spiritually. But these things can also be there in a spiritual sense. So, and when a quality is there in a spiritual sense, it means it's eternal. If you get good qualities in the material world, they're temporary. They don't last, which is frustrating. We work very hard, and we get something, but then we lose it. Then we work very hard and we get something and we lose it. And then we work very hard and we get something and we lose it. So this is material life. And I think we probably all have some experience of this. I can give examples of this. But in spiritual life, when we gain an opulence, when we gain something wonderful, we don't lose it. There's a Prabhupada, sometimes he talks about spiritual bank accounts. So people, especially I guess these days people are more, I don't know if they're more interested in saving. People's savings are a little insecure in the banks. We don't know if the banks are going to survive. But people like to save up, even if you're going to put it in your, you know, in your cupboard, in your room or something like that. People like to save up. So, and if you save up a little bit every day after some time, it becomes something substantial and then you can get something that you want, something useful. So Krishna consciousness is a little like that. Every day we can put something in our spiritual bank account. And people wonder, why do we chant every day? Why do you chant every day? Actually, if you can chant all day every day, it's good. 24 hours a day, Prabhupada was asking or mentioning. But if we chant every day, then we're putting a donation into our spiritual bank account. And after some time, it will accumulate. And through the stages of devotional service, it will accumulate. So we start with Shraddha, faith. So we have some faith in the process. We find something interesting about it. Then we practice a little bit. We associate with the devotees. We purify ourselves and get a taste. And it goes all the way up to some Shraddha to Prema, means we get out of this material world. We develop love of God. So it's a very wonderful process, and one that will reap benefit if we're willing to try. Some people, when we talk to them about Krishna consciousness, they're not willing to have a go. You know, first we have to prove that it works to them, and then. But the thing about, as with many things, like if you have an apple, if you want to know what an apple tastes like, and if you'll like it, and if it'll make you less hungry, and give you some strength, then you have to eat the apple. If I just sit and say, you know, the apple is really good and it'll make you feel better and it tastes nice, and But it won't help you if, it won't help us if we don't eat it. So this is very important, practical. Something should be practical. So Krishna consciousness is very practical. Even if somebody doesn't like chanting Hare Krishna, which is a very simple thing to do, if they just eat prasadam, so if you can just somehow or other, if we can just somehow or other convince people to eat prasadam, then that will help them to become more Krishna conscious. And then they put a little donation in their bank account, their spiritual bank account. So we should also be like Lord Shiva, the glorifying Krishna. And especially, always, but especially at times of festivals, it's a very nice opportunity for us to think of the Lord, to meditate on the Lord. And that's actually why Krishna appears in the first place. His appearance is, he describes it in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about his appearance. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vaditatvataha. And he says that one who knows me in truth goes back to Godhead. If you know me, then you're liberated from this material world. So knowing Krishna, at least according to Krishna, is an important thing. But how do we know Krishna? Who is Krishna, actually? So Prabhupada talks about Krishna. Krishna is a person. He's not a dull stone. He's not, he's not an impersonal light. He's not like us. Krishna is a person, but he's a transcendental person. He's the ultimate, supreme, transcendental being who created everything. But as a person, he's not just, it's not like he's just sitting on a cloud and not getting bored. That's not what spiritual life is about. Krishna has activities, he has associates, he has friends. And Prabhupada said he eats. So sometimes we give tours in the castle, right? We show people around, we show them the altar. And we say we do worship here, we dress the deity, which is very surprising for people. Actually, they find it very amazing. We dress the deities twice a day. Not even just once a day. Krishna has pajamas. We have pajamas, Krishna has pajamas. So he also gets changed from bed. And we bring our food to Krishna. Or we bring... That's my mental. See, I'm giving away. That's what they call it, for a Freudian slip. You reveal your mentality by something. We bring food to Krishna. We offer bhoga to Krishna for his enjoyment. And then we take his remnants. People are surprised. We say we do it seven times. Do you eat seven times a day? I eat three times a day if I'm being good. So we feed Krishna seven times a day. So we don't even just do it according to our diet. We do it even more. We are offering Krishna so much. So Prabhupada said, Krishna eats. Why not? You eat. Why can't he eat? Some people say God cannot. You know, we say, this is another thing. We say, this is God. God came to earth. God was here 5,000 years ago on this planet, walking around. And some people say, God can't do that. Why not? You can do it. If you can do it, why can't he do it? Isn't it? Why is God limited? You're better than he is, because you can be here, but he can't be here. Anyway, you don't say this to people in the Torah, but this is at least the direction we can go in with people. He eats, he dresses, he has activities, he wears flower garlands. Like that. But Krishna's not like us in the sense that he's not materially affected. We're also transcendental in the ultimate sense. We also have a spiritual form. But in our present circumstances, we're not spiritual. We're in a material situation. Sorry, I don't speak proper English very much. Sorry. Full English. I have to think of the words. So we're in a material situation. Krishna's not like that. And Prabhupada says that one of the things about Krishna that's different to us is that he remembers his previous lives. Krishna and Arjuna are talking, and Krishna says, you know, we've talked about this before. We've been here before. We've done this before. But the difference is that I can remember that, but you can't. Now, Krishna has a pastime of traveling through all the universes. He goes to all of the planets. It's especially all the earth planets. And he speaks Bhagavad Gita in order to enlighten people, to enlighten us. So as they travel, Arjuna goes with him. And all everybody, I don't know, everybody, you know, there's a whole show, there's all so many people go with Krishna. But Krishna remembers all those things, and Arjuna cannot remember all those things. So, in order to really know Krishna, we need to practice Krishna consciousness. We need to make an endeavor, and that's through the process of devotional service. Hare Krishna. Shishu Radha Gopinath ki, Shishu Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki, Gaur Nitai ki. So the process of devotional service, and Guru Padma was talking about this yesterday. He gave this a very nice, made this very nice point, which actually I was going to make today, so you kind of preempted it. But now what was it? It was about devotees. Oh, if you do not feel joy in your heart upon seeing a devotee, you, it's an offense. That was it. So it's a very Krishna. Sometimes we think if we shout at a devotee or we punch a devotee, we made an offense. Or we speak badly, but those are offenses. But it's Krishna consciousness is a delicate, it's a very delicate process. Vaishnava or the etiquette amongst the devotees is refined. It's not a gross thing. And that's one of the thoughts I had. I had another thought that I remember one class about aparad, Vaishnava aparad, and how to avoid it. And one of the points that the devotee made that very much struck me and kind of made me feel nervous, which is good, was that if somebody makes an offense against us and we take offense, we think, oh, you know, who are they to say that, then that's an offense. If we feel upset when somebody offends, they offend us. Somebody punches you, somebody shouts at you, somebody says something bad about you. As a devotee, another devotee, and we think, ugh, how could you do such a thing? That's horrible. Then that's an offense. And it was like, oh my God, how am I supposed to... Anyway, it's a refined process, so we're trying to get there. There was another one. Oh yeah, the other one. If we do something wrong and someone criticizes us, we do something wrong. They criticize us, that's an offense. They criticize us. We get the reaction. They get a reaction, we get a reaction for Vaishnava Aparad. So we get a reaction for offending ourselves. Shivaram Swami, who's giving a class. I'm sorry, I don't have a reference. I thought maybe Bhakti Chirumaj talks about that. If you need a reference, I'll try and find it. But we, you know, and especially, it's like with, you know, like anything, if it's done knowingly. If I knowingly do something wrong and I know that people will know about it, and then they will create, obviously they're going to feel, you know, or they may feel, oh, that was a bad thing to do, or that you shouldn't have done that, and they criticize me, then I committed an offense. It's always worse when we do something in knowledge. If somebody does something accidentally, then that's not really an offense. That's just, you know, people, we make mistakes, people do silly things. I mean, I do them all the time. But if it's a conscious thing, then it's more serious. So I don't want to frighten anybody. That wasn't the point. But the point being that Krishna consciousness is a delicate thing, and that the association of devotees is a wonderful opportunity. But also, that we should be careful. I'd like to read, before time runs out, I'd like to read this pastime about Lord Krishna. So we hear about Lord Krishna's descent, which is happening tomorrow. Midnight Krishna appeared. So he likes to keep everyone up. He appears at midnight. And it's like the clock is ticking down to midnight, so it's kind of exciting. Krishna is a dramatic. It's one of his qualities. He likes to be dramatic. This is a very nice book if anyone has the opportunity. It's called Vaina Gita. It's a description of the commentaries of the Acharyas on the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very nice. And one of the pastimes in it is a description of how the demigods go to Lord Krishna in order to beg him to come to the earth, because there's coming to the world, and he comes to the earth. because there are many impious rulers, I think you could say, who are causing a disturbance for the people. And so this is a description of their discussion. It's very nice. So kind of maybe get us in the mood a little bit for tomorrow. I just want to find that point. Okay. So the demigods have gone to Vaikuntha with Lord Vishnu. He's brought them to Vaikuntha. And they've entered Vaikuntha, and they've actually come into Goloka, Vrindavan, which is the most intimate place in the spiritual world. And they're approaching Lord Krishna. So this, just to give you the picture, Krishna is sitting on an asana. And he's next to him is Srimati Radharani, and is surrounded by many, many, many devotees. So, filled with wonder, understanding Sri Krishna to be the original Supreme Being, the demigods offered many prayers as tears rolled down their cheeks to wet the Chintamani soil. Speaking with a voice like thunder, sweet as honey, and very difficult to describe, Sri Krishna said, "Dear demigods, fear no longer. I will descend to remove the burden of the earth and will take birth in the dynasty of the Yadus. Appearing with you and your wives, I will perform the work which you now request." With a smile, he said, "The Vedas are my words, the Brahmanas are my mouth, the cows are my body, you demigods, demigods are my limbs, and my devotees are the life of my heart. To protect them all, I will now descend." So Krishna's making a declaration to please his devotees. But it continues. Hearing that her beloved, this is Sri Radha, hearing that her beloved would depart for the world of men, Sri Radha, overcome with fear of separation, cried and trembled, her hair standing on end. Displaying her great torment, she spoke to the Lord as follows. "Oh, my beloved, you have vowed to remove the suffering of the earth and please the demigods. But my vow is that in your absence, I will not keep my body alive." Sri Radha repeated her promise again and again. And Sri Krishna, bound by his duty to the faithful, driven by the intricacies of divine love, but always desirous to please his devotees, said, "Dear beloved Radhika, when I think of being separated from you for a moment, all the Vaikuntha planets and the universe below lose significance for me. Could I leave here without you? To fulfill the desire of these great devotees, let us go to earth together. Performing our loving pastimes, we will enchant the pious, while the demons will meet their ends at the hands of Sri Vishnu." Pacified, but not satisfied, Sri Radha said, "O dearly beloved, to be with you is the perfection of my life. Yet where there is no Vrindavan forest, where the Yamuna river does not flow, where the shadow of Govardhan Hill is absent, there my heart cannot be happy." With a cheerful smile, Sri Krishna then called upon the divine realm of Gokul. To fulfill Radha's request, he sent to earth glorious Govardhan Hill, the enchanting river Yamuna, and a 94-mile portion of Vrindavan Dham. With that portion of Raj went the many birds, bees, trees, and diverse creatures that walk its Chintamani soil and bask in its atmosphere of divine love. All his associates like Devaki, Vasudev, Halada, Nanda, Yashoda, Sridhar, Subha, Lalita, Vishakha, and many, many more, whose names glorify any habitation but extend the length of this book, appeared along with him. And so it was that upon the all-blissful desire of Sri Radha, for the pleasure of the great demigods, and for the deliverance of lost souls, Sri Vrindavan Dham appeared on this earth as its only fortune, glory, and opulence. It's beautiful, huh? Very beautiful. The beauty is very nice. Hare Krishna. So I'm going to stop there. It is time. And does anyone have any quick comments or questions?
I have one comment. The verse says that the mantra he's going to give is a particular mantra, and part of the comment, it's particular, but it's not sectarian, it's confidential, to describe. And just the other day I heard a similar statement about the Mayavada philosophy that Shankaracharya was told to teach. And the idea was to cover the real philosophy, which Krishna considers confidential. Not just someone wanted to cover it, didn't want everything at that time to know it. And then later, of course, it starts to turn into the real.
Jay, thank you.
Just a little comment about some of the things you said. Good. But in general, anything we do which is not with knowledge, or anything we experience which is not with knowledge, we have to get, Krishna consciousness, then we have to get a reaction for it. So though it may be true that if someone says something bad to you and you react to it, if you react to it in Krishna consciousness, then there is no problem. But how you react to it in Krishna consciousness may be quite very variable. Like Arjuna, he reacted, people would want to offend him, and he said, well, we should just be tolerant. And Krishna didn't accept that. On the other
hand, Krishna said kill them.
Yeah, he said kill them. So we have to do it in how we react has to be in Krishna consciousness. As far as, it's certainly worse if you do something consciously, but you still get a reaction if you do something unconsciously also. Probably to give the example, if you walk on the street and you step on ants, then you're liable for slaughtering living entities, just as if you killed animals. So, therefore, the only safety is to actually be doing whatever we're doing for Krishna and Krishna consciousness.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes. Yeah, it's if somebody offends you and you take offense, not that if you say, oh, you can react, you can say something to them or do something, but. Or how, if they're trying to punch you, you can hold your hands up. That's not an offense.
Yeah, to do it under Krishna's direction.
Check.
In other words, the devotee is thoughtful. Before he responds, he thinks, what is the super soul of my heart? How he wants me to act? And if he does that, then there's no offense. And if he just reacts, then there is an offense. Because we're not Krishna conscious, and we're in ignorance to some degree.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Good. All right, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi ki.